is home for you?
Home is like, I don't know. Let's see. It's an interesting question. I think home is more like where you feel like you belong, which is New York.
Okay.
But I live in London and have been for like a long time. But I'm such a New Yorker through and through that, I'm a New Yorker in London.
That's like not uncommon.
Yeah, it's true.
So there's true. Other people like sharing your pain.
It's true, definitely. But I'm like so American that like in England, I feel like I'm always like the angry American because they're so polite. Oh. It's like stiff upper lip and I'm always like, well, you fucking get, can I swear?
Absolutely, yes.
Like, can you get this done now? And like, what do you mean? I can't get my dry cleaning done in the same day.
I know, like, we're used to like a certain pace. It's so funny that you asked if you could swear, because how could I interview chefs if I didn't allow swearing on my podcast? That's the question.
We can be well behaved if we have to.
Really?
Obviously.
For your TV appearances?
TV, you know, you can't swear in a lot of television.
Hey everybody, this is Catherine Spires, your host of Smart Mouth, and this week we actually recorded on the island of Nevis, in the country of the Federation of St. Kitts and Nevis, which is in the Caribbean. And right now we're sitting in the lobby of the Four Seasons, which is a lovely open air lobby. But also there might be a hurricane coming. So if you hear a little wind.
Yes, it just adds to the ambiance.
Exactly. Our guest here is Judy Ju.
Hello.
Thank you,
Judy.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Good.
Yay.
Judy
has got some girl power going on here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
You get it.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great. So you're a chef. You're a restaurant owner.
Mm-hmm.
You have restaurants in London and in Hong Kong.
Yes.
And right now you're in Nevis to do a little food festival.
Yes.
The little Mango Festival.
A little bit of mangoing, even though my cooking doesn't necessarily include mangoes because I do modern Korean.
Right.
And we, you know, as you know, Korea is not a tropical country.
Sure.
We just hosted the Winter Olympics. It's freaking freezing. Four seasons, distinct seasons, and we don't grow mangoes. But mangoes can work in Korean cooking quite beautifully, and it's fun.
It's always fun to improvise.
Yeah, exactly.
And try something new.
Definitely. And it gets me to the Caribbean.
Yeah, so. Which is always a benefit.
Definitely.
I think it's my first time here, but so far it seems really
water
nice.
And the beaches are beautiful.
Yeah. You mentioned something earlier about like liking Nevis because it's not like one of the more like jet-setty type islands.
Yes, it's not overrun with tourists.
Mm-hmm.
They don't allow the huge cruise ships to dock here. They don't allow franchises on the island,
which cool.
I like, because you do get a lot of local flavor and a lot of local culture.
Yeah.
And even with the servers and everything, even here at the Four Seasons, you know, most of the staff is local.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do feel you are transported to paradise, but at the same time, it's not so sterile, which some locations tend to be.
Okay.
You know, quite sterile, like you kind of transported your little bubble, but just to the beach and the sun, you know.
Right, okay.
Whereas, you know, here you can kind of eat local too if you want an island roti or if you want, you know, something else quite local.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. And, you know, I'm so busy in my day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the last thing I want to do is worry about what I'm wearing or what makeup or get my hair blown out or, you know, care if my nails are done. On vacation, like, I kind of just want to schlep around.
Yeah, and you can do that here.
Completely. You don't have to worry about being seen or to see people or
so do you
reservations.
Go, do you, have you, you've been to other Caribbean islands where it feels like that?
Almost. I grew up coming to the Caribbean because I lived on the East Coast.
Oh, okay.
So, like, a lot of, it's so easy to come down here. So, I've been to many of the islands,
and
Jamaica,
you felt like you were
Bermuda, Bahamas,
the
Caymans, St. Martin, Virgin Gorda, all around
a lot of them.
Oh yeah, a ton of them.
Yeah,
St. Barts and Eleuthera, some of the smaller ones too. But yeah, I mean, like St. Barts, I'm a little bit over
really?
At this point because it's like Saint-Tropez or the Hamptons, and you know, like, I don't want to wear high heels on vacation. I don't want to like spend time blow drying my hair and putting on makeup, and you know, I don't want to stress about where to eat dinner because I had to make a reservation and go to the hot place. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, I just want to wear flip-flops and, you know, a t-shirt and shorts and
I like your vacation style.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't been to the Caribbean a lot, but because it's my first time.
I guess it's like Malibu, like
so, like a more relaxed beach area.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of spicy food here.
Yes.
And your restaurants are Korean, which yes. is another culture that can get into spicy food.
Yes, we love our heat.
Yeah.
And spice and chilies. What is life without spice?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I kind of think it's a character flaw. People can't eat spicy foods.
Oh, so...
I'm like, you need to train yourself.
Well, then, like, then you definitely think I'm flawed. You didn't know that about me yet, but I have such a hard time. But actually, it's funny...
practice, girl.
Well, so
practice
that's the
makes
thing.
Perfect.
Yes, yes. So much research has been done on spiciness because I think
it's... good for you.
Right, it's good for you.
Weight loss, metabolism, it gets the blood flowing.
Exactly. Yes. It can be good for your immune system.
Yes, and it's good to, like... You don't have to, like... go for the crazy hot stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, but like for balance, a lot of times, you know, you just need a little bit of spice.
Well, one thing I am noticing is that I think I am becoming more comfortable with like spicier and spicier
food. Yeah, see, practice.
Totally.
There you go.
Absolutely.
And soon you're going to be addicted.
Probably.
Yeah.
That could
totally.
Definitely.
Totally. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You'll see.
But okay, but here's the thing that there's like this one subset of study about spiciness that I was not aware of, but like... the personalities of people who really go for super hot food.
Yes.
So there's a correlation between like thrill seekers.
Definitely.
Who like eating spicy food. I guess it's,
well,
it's also...
I'll take it one step further.
Yeah.
I think that your eating habits are directly correlated to your personality.
Okay.
And
go on.
Okay. So I feel that people that are adventurous in their palates, so people who like to try different foods, who aren't afraid to try different foods, who are more adventurous in every way, and their palates are more adventurous in life.
Okay. I think that makes sense. I'm feeling a little defensive because I feel like I have an adventurous palate, just not so much on the spiciness.
Well, no, it doesn't. No, well, not for spiciness.
Oh, not just
anything,
for spiciness.
Anything.
Okay.
So people who aren't afraid to try Caribbean food, who aren't afraid to try Thai food, Vietnamese food, you know, like Mexican food.
No, I totally agree with you. Like trying new things, like in what you eat and also in what you do.
Yes.
Yeah. And then like... it's also interesting when humans are like, it's painful. I like it.
Yes. So yes. Yes.
That's like why people have been studying like the psychology of spiciness.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Mm-hmm. What is this?
Yeah, it's that good kind of pain.
Right. Someone called it benign masochism, which I thought was the funniest phrase
at
all. Like, it's masochism, but it's fine. It doesn't hurt anyone.
Yeah. It's kind of like working out to the point of exhaustion. Like you like it. Or like running when it hurts.
Okay.
But like it feels good. It hurts.
Yes.
And like,
yes. Okay. I know that like if I've done weightlifting, I like the way it feels the next day when I'm extremely sore.
Yes.
I'm into that.
It's the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. See, you like pain.
I guess I
do. Yeah, you like pain.
Okay. I never thought about it that way.
So, see, this is the thing. You're going to start loving chilies. You are.
I mean, I want to because I don't like being limited, especially like in Los Angeles where like Sichuan food is the thing right
Sichuan
now.
Sichuan food is a little bit of a different... Well, they're, yeah.
Different types of spiciness
yes. and where it hits you.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
So there's like the wasabi spice, which is all nasal.
Mm-hmm.
The Sichuan peppercorn, which is numbness in the mouth.
Yeah.
And those are different things. So wasabi is a root.
Yeah.
Peppercorn is a peppercorn. And then there's... like chili spices are different. Some are very bright. Like if you think of Tabasco sauce, it's quite bright. And then there's a Korean spice, which is quite deep.
Which spice is like, that?
It's like the gochujang and the kimchi. It's like a deeper, earthier, like a more richer spice. Yeah. So there are many different types of hot and fieriness and how it hits you.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm not a great... like I don't love the Sichuan peppercorn numbness. Like
it,
I can have
kind
a little
of weird,
bit,
yeah, like emotionally weird.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so I understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but sometimes I can't even hang with like Thai food, and I hate that. I wish that
Thai food can get really
it really
messed up
can
spicy. Like even for me. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But like sometimes I'm eating it and like, and I know this is going to make me sick the next day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to like burn right through you.
Right.
But I'm like, it's so good. I don't care.
I know. Yeah. So there it is. That benign masochism.
Totally. Completely.
So there's this guy named Barry Green who works in a lab in New Haven. It's called the John B. Pierce Lab. And he wrote that like spicy foods from his studies, that spicy foods, he said, excite the receptors in the skin that normally respond to heat, like temperature heat. And those are like pain endings, pain fibers, nerve endings. Yeah. And it's like the same thing, like if someone pinched you, But responding to, instead of a physical stimulus, a chemical stimulus. And
it's so, like a drug.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So the thing, like, so when you're eating like a chili pepper, for instance, you get that pain, those pain receptors are firing off. But then there's capsaicin, which is the thing that makes it spicy.
Yes.
And that is giving your brain a sense of warmth.
Yes.
So you feel like the, like, comforting warmth at the same time as the pain warmth. So at those two hand in hand, you don't think you're actually dying. Because they, like, so kind, like, of, they work together.
It's like crack.
This is so funny. I guess it is. It's I've, like, never done, like, crack, but
I haven't either. But it's kind of like that whole addiction thing.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense. Because people do, and that's part of what they were talking about with the personalities, is that it, some people who want, it's not about flavor, who go for the spicier and spicier and spicier peppers, and you know how they're developing, like, ghost peppers and viper peppers and all that.
I'm not into that, because that to me is, like, I like spice with flavor.
Right.
It doesn't have a purpose if it just blows your head off. Like, I don't understand that. Like,
I totally agree.
For me, it's a flavor enhancer, and it complements and enhances the rest of the food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when things are happening to your body when you're eating spicy food, like, you're sweating, it's the same thing as if you were in a 90 degree day.
Yeah. Oh, amazing.
Yeah. So that, I don't know. I guess your body does that so that you don't go into panic mode when you eat a chili and
possibly,
just think that you're being cut to death.
That's also why it improves your circulation, they say.
Mm-hmm.
And it speeds up your metabolism.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about science, but
it gets everything going.
Yeah. And it does. So this is where I'm like, oh, thank God. Like, research has shown that, like, some people just can't deal with the spiciness as well. You know what? I can't believe I've never made this connection before, at least not that I remember. I also have a low pain tolerance for, like, injuries.
Oh, really? Oh, so maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe
it just, like, goes hand in hand, perhaps.
Yeah, perhaps.
There was something about all this, all the studies that I read, that seemed very, like, male-oriented. Like, when they were talking about people going, like, eating the spiciness just to see that they could do it. And the fact that, like...
Oh, there's a macho,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I wonder if,
I'm more,
like,
manly than you.
Right. Mm. If they had come at... If there had been more women on the study, if, like, they would have thought about stuff like that, like sensitivity, as opposed to just, like, proving something.
It's true. But actually, women have a higher pain tolerance.
Because they have to deal with more.
Yeah.
I know. It's, like, why I know that I shouldn't have kids. Because I know that my pain tolerance is too low. I'm like, I would never forgive them.
Seriously.
It would be a resentful relationship.
Yeah, but we are wired to be able to deal with it. So you're going to get over that, too. Yeah. And your pain tolerance is going to go up. And
mine might not.
You're like, no.
I'm like, slowly aging out of the time when people are going to ask me about kids.
That's so
and
funny.
I can't wait.
So funny. Oh, my God. Hysterical.
So the benign masochism thing, it was a study by someone named Paul Rosen, and he said that something about, like, realizing that, like, you fooled your body when there's no actual danger, like, the pleasure receptors in some people's brains really light up when they're like, I tricked myself.
Okay.
And I think it's like going on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And being like, I think I'm going to die, even though I know I'm not going to.
Yeah.
It's the same, like, excitement.
Okay.
Apparently.
Yeah. Well, that's the adrenaline. They're adrenaline junkies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also the element that I think people get confused about, and you touched on this, which is, you know, a person from England might be like, oh, well, all Korean people like really spicy food.
Yeah.
It's like, no, absolutely not.
It's true. They do not. No, I know a bunch of them. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's saying that also, like, you know, all people from Scandinavia can't handle spicy food.
Exactly.
You know, so I think that there is something with epigenetics, you know, and how you're built and what foods you naturally gravitate towards.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously there are exceptions.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And people in Korea might be down with spicy food more because they're served it more often.
Definitely.
And so their palates get trained to
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's a real nature versus nurture kind of situation. And, like, as in any other example, they really go hand in hand.
Definitely.
I think.
Yeah.
You can't
I can't eat huge amounts of butter and cream and cheese. Like, if I'm in France too long, I actually start getting ill. Like, I cannot handle it. Whereas, like, a lot of, like, my Western friends, they're absolutely fine.
Right.
You know, and they cook with tons of butter, tons of cream all the time. Like, mm-hmm. I'll go to their house for dinner. I'm like, this is going to make me vomit. Cause like, I just don't
yeah.
cook or eat like that.
Yeah.
You know, especially like my Irish girlfriend, she puts like, you know, like half a stick of butter in with her cabbage and potatoes. And I'm just like,
you're like, please stop.
You just ruined beautiful cabbage and potatoes. So that just has to do with culture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And for her, like the way like I would saute them with like soy sauce and whatever, she mm-hmm. probably is like, oh my God, this is so gross. You know what I mean?
That's so funny. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm lucky enough to have grown up on the West Coast. So I'm like, give me both.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah. 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 So funny. Yeah.
And I think there's like a data point that points to the fact that tastes change, which is that about 20 years ago in the United States, sales of salsa outpaced ketchup.
Yeah.
And have been increasing steadily as ketchup has stayed the same.
Definitely.
Of course, there's mild salsa. But
I also think that comes with the globalization of the world, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so people, you know, didn't really know about salsa.
Yeah.
And now there's so many different kinds of salsa, and it's so fresh, and it's better for you, et cetera. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. And ketchup is kind of boring. And
it is kind of boring. Although,
full of sugar.
Right.
And, yeah.
It is. But that's why people like it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I wonder, though, I don't think I've ever seen, like, I mean, I'm sure it exists. It does. But, like, I don't know that for people who like ketchup on burgers that they're ever going to be like, never mind, we're doing salsa instead.
Yeah, there, ketchup does have its place.
It does.
It does, definitely.
Yeah, but people really fight over it, especially when it comes to hot dogs.
People, I'm a mustard girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
And people will get angry about that, but
really?
There's just as many people who will get angry about putting ketchup on a hot dog.
Whatever floats your boat. I always say, if you like it, eat it. Like, there are no rules in cooking.
I agree.
And no rules in, like, what you like to eat.
Yeah.
And, like, I sometimes put cheese on cheese. On a cracker, like, I'll mix cheese. Okay,
yeah.
You're like, yeah, I've done that.
Monica, too.
You know, people are like, you can't mix the cheeses, you know
what are
I mean?
The best cheeses to put together on a cracker?
Oh, it doesn't matter. If I have a cheese board, I'll just, like, layer cheese on top.
Oh.
But I get mad when I see people mix different colors of jelly beans. Or like the jelly bellies, you know what I mean? Like, how can you eat butter popcorn with blueberry? Or like, you know, and green lime, you know, because like I have a friend who will just like grab a handful and just shove it all in their mouth. I'm like, no, you have to come up with the correct. I'm like, you can eat blueberry and strawberry together, but you cannot eat chocolate. And
that's
and
amazing.
Lime.
I love the rules that we make up for ourselves.
Yeah, I have no consistency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just all come from little parts of our brain and they have nothing
definitely.
To do with anything we were taught.
Yeah,
or
exactly. I know. Yeah, and I have like very strong conviction about certain things,
right.
But then other things like it's fine.
Yeah, I guess that's the way we do as humans.
Definitely. Yeah.
So you also were talking about the different kinds of spiciness.
Yes.
And how they can affect you physically and in different places.
Yes.
there's a long sciencey word, isothiocyanates. That is the spiciness that is present in black pepper and horseradish.
Oh, okay.
And then...
So that's like all up your nose.
Yes.
All that stuff. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Mostly in the root crops.
Mm-hmm.
But not all spicy things have that. So those are the ones that like shoot up the back of your like spine into your brain.
Yes.
That'll be like the different kind.
Mm.
Your sinuses as opposed to heat on your tongue.
Yes.
There's all kinds of different ways.
Different
and
ways.
I bet people... can deal with some kinds of spiciness and not others and have never like examined
absolutely. Like I've got a friend who cannot eat chilies but he loves wasabi. Loves wasabi.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Does he put too much of it on his sushi?
He does. It bothers me. Yeah.
So that's another one of your food rules.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Do you know what kind of chilies are used in like all the Korean chili paste and chili powders? Is it like specific?
So it's actually its own species. It's morphed. It's called the Korean Anise chilies. I have a book, like it's called the Herbs and Spice book, and the Korean chilies have their own genus species, like Latin name.
Okay.
Yeah. But they did come, I mean, there's arguments. They're not indigenous to Korea. So they're introduced in, I don't know, maybe the 16th or 17th century. I can't remember.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, when Portuguese missionaries were traveling with Japanese troops.
Mm-hmm.
And they introduced the chili pepper into the Korean peninsula. And the Koreans fell in love with it. Yeah.
So are they mostly grown in Korea now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It, how do you feel about Scotch bonnets, which are the chilies that are used here on Yves, yes, mostly?
Yes. They're very spicy. They're a lot spicier than the Korean chilies.
Okay.
It's a different kind of spice. Yeah, I think on a Scoville scale, they're maybe a 10, 9. I have no idea. Whereas like the Korean chilies are much more milder.
Okay.
Yeah. So Scotch bonnets are much fiery, are much more fiery. Yeah.
Do you use them in anything?
Oh, not really.
Okay.
Yeah, I tend to stick to the long chilies.
Right.
Yeah, Scotch bonnets are a bit too hot for me.
They're crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're completely insane.
They're a bit too hot. Yeah. I do like the Thai bird chilies, though, which are maybe even, I don't know, but they taste different to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. And they're tiny.
They're tiny.
And, okay, do you only eat them in Thai food? Do you put them in your food?
I put them in Thai food only.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
So there's a word that I'm going to mispronounce.
Yes.
Gochujang?
Gochujang.
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 Okay. Seems like that's used a lot.
Yeah, a ton. Yeah.
How
it's
is
one
it?
One of the staples of Korean cooking.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in everything?
Not in everything, but it's very versatile because not all Korean food is spicy red and fiery, but it's used in a lot of things because it's very versatile because it's a paste. You can use it in dips, marinades, soups, everything.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It can be delicious on rice cakes.
It's, yes. Yes, exactly. It's mild, you know? It's not like blow your head off spicy.
Yeah, no, I do remember I was afraid to taste it, and then I tasted it, and I was like, I can hang.
Yeah, see? See, you like chilies. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess what I think about when I think of, like, chilies and spiciness is, this is all coming together in my brain for the first time, totally the boys that I went to high school with who would, like, drink Tabasco sauce as a dare.
Oh, that's so dumb.
Yes,
that is
it
so
is.
Dumb.
Yeah. And I thought that eating spicy food was a machismo thing instead of a flavor thing. Whoa, this has ended up being a total therapy session for me.
Yeah.
So.
And actually, I think you do like spicy foods. And your pain tolerance is probably higher than you think it is.
Oh my God, you're the best therapist I've ever had.
I was like, you can do it. You're doing it already. It's just your mindset.
This is amazing.
Definitely.
The dishes, there was a dinner the other night at this mango festival, and you served a mango dish.
Which dinner are we talking about?
Last night? The Botanical Gardens one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... Would you say that was a play on kimchi?
The kimchi fried rice cake or the...
It was just the like sliced mangoes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so that was a play on kimchi.
Okay.
Definitely. Is green mango kimchi.
So raw, underripe mangoes.
Yes. Yeah.
And then putting
the
kimchi spices.
That was more of a pickle because we didn't have time, obviously, for full fermentation.
Right.
So we pickled it.
So you didn't bury it in the ground in a jar?
No. We dug a hole in the sand over there. I brought my Korean clay pots.
So cool.
I've been
so
here
authentic.
For 3 months. Yeah. I've been here for 3 months just fermenting.
Just sitting there waiting.
Yeah. Actually, in this heat, I ferment like 2 days.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. So what ingredients go into that?
In the one that I made.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a basic pickling liquid. So
okay.
It's 1-to-1 vinegar, water, and sugar.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there wasn't any chilies or spices or anything added to it?
Yes, gochugaru. So the Korean chili powder, I added that too.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was good. And I think that people should think about all the like ways in which they can make something kimchi.
Oh yeah.
Quote unquote.
So I use kimchi as a verb. You can kimchi any fruit or vegetable.
Oh, I like it.
And actually, there are over 180 different official varieties of kimchi.
Okay.
And that's not even including all the different varieties that people make in their homes.
Right.
So kimchi is kind of like the spaghetti sauce of Korea.
Uh-huh.
So every grandmother and mother and family in Italy has their own version of spaghetti sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And every region has their own, you know, things that they add to it. The same thing with kimchi. There are 1,000 different types of versions. Every family has their own.
Which is your favorite?
I love radish kimchi.
Okay.
So with radishes. And
just standard red radishes, like the
No. So a Korean radish, like a daikon.
Oh,
radish.
A daikon. Okay,
yeah, daikon. But the Korean radishes are not quite daikons. They're like really huge and thick and big. You know, they're a little bit of a different texture.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I really love radish kimchi.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. And is that your favorite Korean dish overall?
I do love kimchi. No, my favorite Korean dish though. Huh. I love a tofu stew called sundubujjigae.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, that's kind of like my ultimate comfort food.
It's so good.
It's like spicy yeah. broth. Oh, yeah. See, you like it?
I do. What is wrong with
yes,
me?
Yes, you love spice. What is... And you can eat that? That's... Okay, what are you talking about? You can't handle spicy food.
I don't know.
Well, you can't handle, like, this crazy, like...
I can't handle the crazy stuff. I like some yeah. spicy food, but not
if
all
like
of it.
If you like sundubujjigae, you totally can eat spice, because that's effing spicy.
I don't know myself. Yeah, that's what we're
don't.
Learning.
You're obviously comparing yourself, because it's all relative. You're comparing yourself, like, I can't chug a bottle of Tabasco, therefore, right. I don't like spicy food. Okay.
Oh, my God.
That I don't like spicy food, too. That
I'm so embarrassed, but also relieved.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You're like, oh, I love kimchi. I love sundubujjigae. I love tteokbokki. I'm like, what? These are all, like, spicy things. I'm like...
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. How humiliating.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is, like, an epiphany for you.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
I need to know what some of the best restaurants in London and Hong Kong are.
Oh, yeah.
Your favorites. Not fanciest, necessarily. Oh, what are your, like, go-tos?
I'm totally over fine dining. Yeah.
Cool.
I just, like...
Cool.
Like good food. Like, mm-hmm. if I want vegetables, I want a plate of vegetables. I don't want, like, a little foam bubble, like, one little leaf. And
yeah.
Like, yeah. So, in London, gosh, Indian food is the best in London.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, practically better than in India, I would say. It's so clean and gorgeous tasting. There's an Indian restaurant that I love called Trishna.
Trishna?
Trishna. They specialize in Indian and seafood.
Cool.
And it's nearby where I live, so it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I was just there. They're famous for their crab curry, but they also do a really great lamb tandoori.
Yum.
Tandoori lamb chop. Also, Middle Eastern or Lebanese food is mm-hmm. fantastic, because mm-hmm. there's a large Arab community also in London. I like to go to this divey place called Marouche. It's like a chain, but
oh, okay.
it does the trick. Yeah, it's so good and it's fresh. It's tasty. I like another kind of like canteen place called Comptoir,
mm-hmm.
Lebanese. But if you want to go a little bit higher end, there's a great place in Knightsbridge called Ishbilia that has beautiful, beautiful
How is that
food.
Spelled?
Ishbilia.
Okay.
Ishbilia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's a bit more formal, but
okay.
gorgeous, gorgeous food. And I love that style of eating, like with hummus and tabbouleh
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the pita and just like, you know, falafel and yeah, all the kind of like picking and grazing.
Right, a little bit of everything.
And it's so healthy too.
Yeah.
A lot of fresh vegetables and it's just, you know, olive oil and, you know, lemon and stuff like that. It's really, really bright and gorgeous. Hong Kong, there's so much good food in Hong Kong.
Right.
Gosh, I'm always going to new places. I definitely like to eat on the street.
Okay.
A bit, you know, like some like hawker style stuff mm-hmm. and noodles.
Is there like a neighborhood that's best for that, or is it just all throughout the city?
You have to go into the Kowloon side.
Okay.
Yeah. So get on the MTR and head over the Kowloon side mm-hmm. and just go to some of the markets. Yeah. Some of it's scary.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's fantastic, and you just get like, you know, buns and noodles and, mm-hmm. and stir fries. It's so tasty.
Oh, man. Oh,
it's,
my God.
It's so good. Yeah. And then also like, I mean, Hong Kong is a very international city. So there's a lot of great, you know, higher end restaurants and I, even though like some of my local friends don't like this restaurant, it's called Mott 32.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's too guailo, which is like, do you know what that means?
I do.
They're like, it's too guailo, but it's beautifully decorated. They have a really nice duck and an Iberico pork dish.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's gorgeous. And it's really tasty food. Where else? I like what my friend Mei Chow is doing at Bao. She's got a great little Bao house. The Japanese food is fantastic
oh,
in Hong Kong.
Oh, okay.
Fantastic Japanese restaurants. If you go out to like Wan Chai out mm-hmm. there, really good food there. Yeah. Yeah, you just have to explore. Yeah.
You picked two really pretty great food cities to set your businesses up in, which
yeah.
makes sense that you would want mm-hmm. restaurants in cities where
Definitely.
People like restaurants, but also it's a personal benefit to you because you
oh,
get to eat at all of them.
Completely, completely. Yeah. Yeah, they have to be places I like to go to. Yeah.
yeah.
And I don't do countries with bad food.
Why would you?
I know. Exactly. I actually get pissed off if I eat a meal that's not good because I feel like it's wasted calories.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's
I like, totally
God,
understand
I
that.
I just wasted that. Yeah. I get that completely.
Mm-hmm. Judy, thank you so much for coming
thank
on Smart Mouth.
Thank you so much.
Where can people find you on social media and see what you're up to?
At Judy Jew Chef. I have to get better at my socials. I'm pretty crap at it.
You need to post pictures of all these amazing meals that you're eating.
I know. I know.
Especially because you're so international.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
People would love it.
I'm really, really bad at it. I actually have like a kind of aversion to social media. I need to get over it.
You do.
I know. So.
Well, yeah, maybe my listeners will start following you and it'll be an inspiration,
yes,
perhaps.
We'll I will. See. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. I need some encouragement
good,
here.
Good.
Wonderful. Well, it's so great.
Thank you so much.
Amazing. Thank you. My